The Mormon Channel presents conference highlights from the 181st Semiannual General Conference of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Elder Richard G. Scott.
Scriptures are like packets of light that illuminate our minds and give place to guidance and inspiration from on high. They can become the key to open the channel to communion with Father in Heaven and His beloved Son, Jesus Christ.
President Thomas S. Monson.
There are still areas of the world where temples are so distant from our members that they cannot afford the travel required to get to them. They are thus unable to partake of the sacred and eternal blessings temples provide. To help in this regard, we have available what is called the General Temple Patron Assistance Fund. This fund provides a one-time visit to the temple for those who otherwise would not be able to go to the temple and yet who long desperately for that opportunity. Now, brothers and sisters, it's my prayer that we may be filled with the Spirit of the Lord as we listen to the messages today and tomorrow and learn those things the Lord would have us know.
President Boyd K. Packer.
Youth today are being raised in enemy territory with a declining standard morality. But as a servant of the Lord, I promise you, you'll be protected and shielded from the attacks of the adversary if you will heed the promptings that come from the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you might be tempted to think, as I did from time to time in my youth, the way things are going, the world is going to be over. The end of the world is going to come before I get to where I should be. Not so. You can look forward to doing it right.
President Dieter F. Uchtdorf.
The Lord doesn't care at all if we spend our days working in marble halls or stable stalls. He knows where we are, no matter how humble our circumstances. He will use in His own way and for His holy purposes those who incline their hearts to Him. God knows that some of the greatest souls who have ever lived are those who will never appear in the chronicles of history. They are the blessed, humble souls who emulate the Savior's example and spend the days of their lives doing good.
Elder David A. Bednar.
We have the covenant responsibility to search out our ancestors and provide for them the saving ordinances of the gospel. They, without us, should not be made perfect, and neither can we, without our dead, be made perfect. For these reasons, we do family history research, build temples, and perform vicarious ordinances. For these reasons, Elijah was sent to restore the sealing authority that binds on earth and in heaven. We are the Lord's agents in the work of salvation and exaltation that will prevent the whole earth from being smitten with a curse when He returns again. This is our duty and great blessing.
Elder Neil L. Anderson.
The family is ordained of God. Families are central to our Heavenly Father's plan here on earth and through the eternities. After joining Adam and Eve in marriage, the scripture reads, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." In our day, prophets and apostles have declared, the first commandment that God gave Adam and Eve pertain to their potential for parenthood as husband and wife. We declare that God's commandment for His children to multiply and replenish the earth remains in force.
Elder D. Todd Christofferson.
Without repentance, there's no real progress or improvement in life. Pretending there's no sin does not lessen its burden and pain. Suffering for sin does not by itself change anything for the better. Only repentance leads to the sunlit uplands of a better life. And of course, only through repentance do we gain access to the atoning grace of Jesus Christ and salvation. Repentance is a divine gift.
Elder L. Tom Perry.
The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is unlike anything else you will share with others. In the information age, it is the most important and valuable information in all the world. There is no question about its worth. It is a pearl of great price. In speaking about the church, we do not try to make it sound better than it is. We do not need to put a spin on our message. We need to communicate the message honestly and directly. If we will open communication channels, the message of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ will prove itself to those who are prepared to receive it.
Elder Jeffrey R. Holland.
We want battalions who will take as their weapons every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. So I'm looking tonight for missionaries who will not voluntarily bind their tongues, but will, with the Spirit of the Lord and the power of their priesthood, open their mouths and speak miracles. Such speech, the early brethren taught, would be the means by which faith's mightiest works have been and will be performed.
President Dieter F. Uchtdorf.
This work of providing the Lord's way cannot be neglected or set aside. It is central to our doctrine. It is the essence of our religion. Brethren, it is our great and special privilege as priesthood holders to put the priesthood to work. We must not turn aside our hearts or our heads from becoming more self-reliant, caring better for the needy, and rendering compassionate service.
President Henry B. Eyring.
Our priesthood preparation always includes others who have already been prepared to offer us the opportunity to accept the gospel and then choose to act by keeping covenants to get them down into our hearts. For us to qualify for eternal life, our service in this life must include working with all our heart, might, mind, and strength to prepare others to return to God with us.
President Thomas S. Monson.
Ours is the responsibility to be worthy of all the glorious blessings our Father in heaven has in store for us. Wherever we go, our priesthood goes with us. Are we standing in holy places? Please, before you put yourself and your priesthood in jeopardy by venturing into places of participating in activities which are not worthy of you or of that priesthood, pause to consider the consequences. May each of us who holds the priesthood of God know what he believes. May we ever be courageous and prepared to stand for what we believe. And if we must stand alone in the process, may we do so courageously, strengthened by the knowledge that in reality we are never alone when we stand with our Father in heaven.
President Henry V. Eyring.
Prayerful study of the Book of Mormon will build faith in God the Father, in his beloved Son, and in his gospel. It will build your faith in God's prophets, ancient and modern. It can draw you closer to God than any other book. It can change your life for the better. Your copy of the Book of Mormon may be hidden from your view by cares and attention to all you have accumulated in your journey. I plead with you to drink deeply and often from its pages. It has in it the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the only way home to God.
Elder Robert D. Hales.
Every one of us is more beloved to the Lord than we could possibly understand or imagine. Let us therefore be kinder to one another and even kinder to ourselves. Let us remember that as we wait upon the Lord, we are becoming saints through his atonement, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon us, even as a child doth submit to his father.
Elder M. Russell Ballard.
The name the Savior has given to his church tells us exactly who we are and what we believe. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior and the Redeemer of the world. He atoned for all who would repent of their sins, and he broke the bands of death and provided the resurrection from the dead. We follow Jesus Christ. We are asked to stand as witnesses of him at all times and in all things and in all places. This means that we must be willing to let others know who we follow and to whose church we belong, the Church of Jesus Christ.
President Thomas S. Monson.
Although the world has changed, the laws of God remain constant. They have not changed. They will not change. The Ten Commandments are just that, commandments. They're not suggestions. They are every bit as requisite today as they were when God gave them to the children of Israel. If we but listen, we hear the echo of God's voice speaking to us here and now. My beloved brothers and sisters, communication with our Father in heaven, including our prayers to him, his inspiration to us, is necessary in order for us to weather the storms and trials of life. The Lord invites us, "Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Seek me diligently, and ye shall find me." Close quote. As we do so, we will feel his Spirit in our lives, providing us the desire and the courage to stand strong and firm in righteousness, to stand in holy places and be not moved.
Elder Russell M. Nelson.
When we realize that we are children of the covenant, we know who we are and what God expects of us. His law is written in our hearts. He is our God, and we are his people. Committed children of the covenant remain steadfast, even in the midst of adversity. When that doctrine is deeply implanted in our hearts, even the sting of death is soothed, and our spiritual stamina is strengthened.
Elder Dallin H. Oaks.
We are followers of Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in his church and his gospel, and we should not use a visa to visit Babylon or act like one of its citizens. We should honor his name, keep his commandments, and seek not the things of this world, but seek first to build up the kingdom of God and to establish his righteousness. Jesus Christ is the only begotten and beloved Son of God. He is our Creator. He is the light of the world. He is our Savior from sin and death.
Elder Quentin L. Cook.
Why are those who are righteous and in the Lord's service not immune from such tragedies? While we do not know all the answers, we do know important principles that allow us to face tragedies with faith and confidence that there is a bright future plan for each of us. Some of the most important principles are: first, we have a Father in heaven who knows and loves us personally and understands our suffering perfectly. Second, his Son Jesus Christ is our Savior and Redeemer, whose atonement not only provides for salvation and exaltation, but will compensate for all the unfairness of life. Third, the Father's plan of happiness for His children includes not only a premortal and mortal life, but also an eternal life as well, including a great and glorious reunion with those we have lost. All wrongs will be righted, and we will see with perfect clarity and faultless perspective and understanding.
President Thomas S. Monson.
Brothers and sisters, I assure you that our Heavenly Father is mindful of the challenges we face in the world today. He loves each of us and will bless us as we strive to keep His commandments and seek Him through prayer. How blessed we are to have the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. It provides answers to the questions concerning where we came from, why we're here, and where we will go when we depart from this life. It gives meaning and purpose and hope to our lives. And may the spirit we have felt here be and abide with us as we go about those things which occupy us each day. May we show increased kindness one toward another. May we ever be found doing the work of the Lord.
You've been listening to conference highlights from the 181st Semiannual General Conference of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from the Mormon Channel.